This is the download edition of World Business Report, the Wall Street update for Wednesday, the 27th of January. I'm John Bithrey. Now, the world's biggest social network is getting even bigger. Facebook says it now has 1.6 billion active monthly users. That's a rise of 15% compared to 1 year ago. And it's making a load more money too. Revenues are up by more than 50% compared to this time last year. Well, let's talk to Larry Magid now, technology analyst for CBS News, joining us from Silicon Valley in California. Larry, this is quite extraordinary, this jump in revenues for Facebook, isn't it?
It really is, and it wasn't that long ago when we were worried about Facebook, when stockholders were worrying that the price had gone down and now it's back up and the revenues and profits seem to be doing well. Facebook is becoming sort of the de facto meeting ground for people, not just in countries like the U.S. and Great Britain and Europe, but all over the world, Asia, Latin America, Africa. They're finding ways to reach people regardless of the kind of technology they have. 90% of their users are now on mobile, and in some cases they're on just regular old phones, not even smartphones, believe it or not. They are really working very hard to connect everybody in the world, and so far they've got a pretty reasonable percentage of the world.
And so is it that they're getting more sophisticated in terms of building advertising into the mobile app, building advertising into how people are viewing Facebook on mobile?
That's right, and that was a big challenge for both Facebook and Google when mobile first started blowing up in terms of its massive use, and they are finding ways to integrate the ads into mobile and monetize. And the other thing that Facebook has going for it is diversity. Right now we're talking mostly about the success of the Facebook service, but remember they own Instagram, which has just overshadowed Twitter in terms of numbers. They own Oculus Rift, which this year will release the first probably popular virtual reality headset. It's going to be expensive at first, but it could catch on. So they're thinking about the future, not only their existing products, but growing new products.
Okay, Larry, thank you. Larry Magid, joining us live, technology analyst for CBS News. Now, the U.S. Central Bank has kept interest rates on hold this month, 6 weeks after raising them from record lows. But the Fed sounded a note of caution following signs of a slowdown in China and turbulence on world markets. Doug McIntyre is from 24/7 Wall Street in New York.
Normally, when you hold rates as they have or even drop them, the market gets excited because they think, in general, the cost of doing business is going to be low. But if you read the Fed's statement, it's clear that they're worried about growth. And it's clear that what happened is that the markets dropped in reaction to that negative news much more than they were joyous about the fact that the Fed was not raising rates.
So the markets are reacting to the caution that the Fed is expressing in the statement.
Absolutely. It's looking at the Fed's ability to see most of the economy through all of the Federal Reserve local branches around the country, and the fact that they have access to economic tools and information that most of the rest of the world doesn't. So it's worrying. You have to ask yourself, what is it that they see distinctly over the next quarter that would cause them to be so conservative?
Well, as Doug was saying, the markets reacted negatively to that statement from the Fed, the Dow closing down 1.4% at 15,944. Earlier on here in London, the 100 share index was up 1.3% at 59.90. Well, would Google's increasingly clever computer programs be able to make sense of its tax affairs, I wonder? The company is celebrating a leap forward in the development of artificial intelligence, or AI. A Google AI computer program has managed to beat the European champion of the board game Go, the Chinese game that's even more complex than chess. Google's Demis Hassabi spoke to the BBC's Kamal Ahmed.
So Go is probably the most complex game humans have ever devised. There are 10 to the 170 possible board positions in the universe.
Go is often described as a game which has huge amounts of intuition and feel. That must be very difficult for a computer to understand and be good at.
So one of the allures of Go is that it is such an intuitive and aesthetic game. So it's much more about the feel rather than logical calculation, say, for a game like chess. So that's one reason it's in sort of encaptured the human imagination for thousands of years now. Traditionally also that's what's been, computers have been very bad at, is sort of intuitive type decision making. But with Go, the way we approached it is we use deep neural networks which learn positional sense, what kinds of moves are good, what sorts of shapes look good, and it's sort of used that knowledge to help it decide what to play next.
Is a computer being able to play a game like this, does it make it closer to mimicking human intelligence?
The way we've approached playing Go with this program is much more human-like. So it starts off by looking at professional games and learning from those. Then it learns by self-play through practice, if you like. And then it learns to do planning on top of that.
How did it feel when you finally got a computer that could beat the European champion at Go?
So before the match, we suspected we might be stronger than him, but we obviously didn't know because we'd only internally tested it against our own test systems. And of course, it was a historic moment. So it was a fantastically exciting game, actually. It was a very close game. I guess there was a mixture of relief and amazement and excitement when we did actually win.
How long do you think before the type of what you've learned from this type of program could actually be used for things like improving, you know, possibly how we look at health, how we look at climate change, how we look at economics?
So we're already seeing aspects of these kinds of technologies that we're doing and other groups are doing around the world being used in some small ways in some of those domains like medical diagnostics. For example, doing image recognition on brain scans or CT scans.
That's Google's Demis Hassabi speaking to the BBC's Kamal Ahmed. Thank you for downloading from the BBC World Service. You can find a whole world of information from science, arts, business and technology. Just go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.